You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
The ballot measure in November, the first year would reduce the BOCC and MSTU collections by 20%. So those top two lines there that you see in the table, it would reduce those by $22 million in the first year, which is roughly 20% of our revenue.
This is Sabrina White. She is the budget director for Santa Rosa County. And this was at a meeting that was a couple of weeks ago. They're having another set of meetings today. I always feel like, you know, I've got to get rid of the audio and the topics we talked about at least by the time the next meeting happens. They don't always happen the next day. But especially when I go on vacation and I'm behind, it's, you know, sometimes it happens. They had a really interesting conversation about the budget in Santa Rosa County, including, of course, anticipating what will happen if this property tax referendum comes to pass in the fall. And I'm going to do my best every time we talk about this to talk about it both from the perspective of the government and from the perspective of, you know, the taxpayer. Because, you know, $20 million less for the, you know, $22 million less for the county is $22 million more for you. But, you know, with what would one expect? Some attendant loss in services, you know, or the quality of the services that we're getting, of course. But that's, you know, it tends to often be presented by the government. And not, this is not a criticism, it just is. You know, woe is us, we're losing $22 million. And I don't disagree. They're already, you know, pretty tight on their budgets. And they feel like this is going to be crippling the level of hit that they're going to take. But then again, the flip side is that you as a homeowner, if you are a homeowner and have a homestead, you know, collectively, we're all going to save $22 million, which is going to be spread around, you know, well, that's in Santa Rosa County. In Escambia, it's different, but the point is the same, that we'll all be saving a bunch of money that the government will not have.
Over the last 30 years, the board has lowered the millage rate four times, and this past year split the millage to accommodate for the law enforcement MSTU. Based on the FY26 numbers, one mill for the BOCC equals $19.2 million, and for the law enforcement MSTU is $16.4 million. The reason there's a difference there is because the municipalities are not charged within the law enforcement MSTU.
This is kind of nerd stuff, but it's important for you to understand as a taxpayer, as a voter. The reason the MSTU in Santa Rosa County is two mills right now. The countywide tax is, it's like four, something like that. Then the two is then added to that to get your six-ish. The reason, remember, millage, a mill is just a tenth of a percent, okay? It's a thousandth, is if you want to think of it that way. So the, you know, short version of the math is if you have a home, the taxable value of that is $300,000. A mill is $300,000, okay? So in a year, if you have six mills on that home, it's $1,800. It's just, it's really easy to understand the math that way, and other things kind of get it confusing. But what she's saying is that if we raise or lower the millage on the regular taxes, as in for the county, it's about $19 million per mill. Okay, which means there's about $19 billion. If I do that right, I think it's $19 billion of taxable base, I think is how that'll work. For the MSTU, for the sheriff, it's lower. It's only a $16 billion taxable base because, remember, the cities are not a part of that. So Gulf Breeze, Milton, Jay are not a part of that because they have their own tax rules. And the MSTU does not apply to them. They pay for example, in Gulf Breeze, you pay for the Gulf Breeze Police Department. And in Milton, you pay for the Milton Police Department. And this was kind of an issue. You remember how You know, in Gulf Breeze, when the two mills was taken out for the MSTU, they didn't do anything to replace that in their own budget. Whereas in Milton, they raised, you know, so that about half of that, another mill, would go back into the city. But in any case, they're not getting, they're not paying, if you live in the cities, you're not paying for Santa Rosa Sheriff directly in the MSTU, which is supposed to fund the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Department, even though you still get sheriff's protection. It's kind of an odd thing, you know, the way this is all set up, but that's kind of what happened, and that's what she's getting at. The taxable base is a little bit different based on the county and the city. All right, over 20 years, how have taxes changed? How has the budget changed in Santa Rosa County? And these numbers, they're not quite the same in Escambia County, but because of tax cuts over the years in Santa Rosa, but you'll hear the inflation over time because of the rise of property tax values.
The
rise of property values.
This slide shows the revenue collections over the last 20 years related to ad valorem. In 2006, collections were $43.5 million, and it's grown to over $108 million as of this year.
Okay, so 44 in 2006, 20 years later, 108. Which you say, well, God, that's a huge increase. Okay, but do you remember the general concept of how prices go up, the kind of the rule of 72, or, you know, how often do prices double? Well, 20 years for prices to a little more than double, not quite triple, like 2.5, is actually not very much. It's not out of line if you think of how your home values went up, for example. But it is, you know, kind of a stark change in numbers. But that builds in the fact that they cut taxes a bunch, or cut taxes somewhat. And if they had not cut taxes from 6.9 at one point or from 6.1 mills at one point, well, it would have been even higher.
Again, the millage rate has been dropped about 3 times in the past 20 years. If we had kept the 6.972 mills that was previously shown on the other slide, our collections today would be $140 million. If we had not reduced the millage just a few years ago, and it was still at the 6.0953, collections would have been $123 million this year.
And which is a lot different, right? How much more it would have been, 140 or 123, when it's actually going to be, 108. But again, that's just for context, just to kind of understand. Now, one of the interesting things that came out of this conversation, this kind of the pre-budget conference that they were having, was things that, because the school board tax slice and the county tax slice are different, and because if the referendum passes, the school board is not taking any cuts. And I just remind you that we're in a context where people are leaving the school system. They are having fewer and fewer students in the school system every year. So they're getting fewer students paid for by the state. You know, the per student allocation is going, the per student is the same, but they're having fewer students, so it's less overall. But the tax they're getting from property taxes is the same. So when the school district is complaining that they don't have enough money, whether it's Santa Rosa or Escambia, keep in mind they're still getting all of the property tax that they've ever gotten, because that doesn't fluctuate based on the number of students they're serving. It fluctuates based on the property values. So if students go down and they're keeping the same amount of money, that means they're actually getting more money per student from you as a homeowner, as a taxpayer, or as a business owner, just kind of in perspective. And there are other things as well that are kind of interesting.
There are several items listed within this that are state mandated. So, for example, one of the mandates is that we pay for the school district's portion of tax collections, which is roughly $2 million a year. So on the previous couple slides, we showed how much the school district gets, and they are not subject to the exemption that's on the ballot in November, yet we still have to pay for their collections. So I think that's important to note.
So the tax collector is funded, the office is funded through property taxes, because the Santa Rosa County Commission funds them. They also collect all of the taxes for the school board. It costs about $2 million a year to collect all the taxes for the school board. Who pays for that? Not the school board. They don't pay for that out of their own taxes. The county pays for it, which is the longstanding arrangement. But when you think about how they're getting this really sweet carve-out from the property tax referendum, does that start to seem fair that not only, it's like insulting in addition to loss of money, Not only does the county have to take less money because the school board isn't taking any less, but the county is also going to pay to collect the taxes that they're not even getting. So there's going to be a discussion about pushing that cost over onto the county school board, I would imagine, everywhere in Florida, if this passes.
Also, another state mandate item is Medicaid. So we have to pay the Santa Rosa portion of that, and that's roughly $2.8 million. So, again, there are many state mandates within these services that we have to cover the cost unless the state plans to change that in the coming months.
And that was part of the explanation of the budget. And for those of us who just listen, or citizens, is to understand the cost that we have to pay that, you know, we don't really get to decide about that, like Medicaid, which you might think is a fine thing, but the county pays for that about $3 million a year out of a budget that's in the $300 million kind of vicinity, I think, for the property tax revenue for Santa Rosa County. And one of the problems that Santa Rosa has had is that even though they built up a reserve over time, they've been dipping into that, especially in the past year, instead of raising taxes, cutting them just a little bit. But they have dipped into the reserves by a lot in the last year.
The non-recurring fund balance, that's something I want to highlight. As you can see, basically, this is our savings account. So you can see over the past few years, we've used our savings quite a bit. And in FY25, we used over $13.8 million from our savings account.
Oof.
Just, it's been said before, but that is just not a sustainable practice when we keep dipping into the savings account.
Yeah, almost $14 million. And if you go back year over year, like 2021, 22, 23, it's been 4, 4, 2, 3, 3. But this is like rainy day fund. This is savings. This is if a storm hits. It's supposed to be at $25 million. It's right around $20 million. And one of the discussions was then, okay, so we're short this year. We're trying to balance the budget this year, and we're $4 million short. What do you want to do about that? And that was one of the big conversation pieces they had is, well, you know, could we take it out of savings? That's one possibility. Brad Baker, the county administrator.
Just wanted to kind of give you an understanding of how we got to where we're at, and we need $3.964 million to balance the budget.
That's $4 million. They're short. What are the options?
So scenario one, we reduce spending even more,
which they've already tightened a lot and held positions and, you know, taken, like, vacancies were just unfilled and they kind of stopped offering those, taken a lot of work internally, a lot of things to cut costs. But they said, well, you know, one thing is you could cut more services. Basically,
scenario two is we lowered the disaster and revenue stabilization fund,
and that's just a complex way of saving the savings account. Okay, they could, again, dip into savings is another way they could balance that $4 million gap.
And then scenario three would be that we either raise fees or we raise the millage.
Yeah, you could raise property taxes or you could raise fees. So taking out of the what they're calling the disaster stabilization fund, the savings account, the hurricane fund, however you want to describe it, there's not like 15 different funds out there. There's just the surplus, you know, the savings account. And this one is in the $20 million vicinity. The problem with that is, well, you don't want to take out of your savings because then you don't have any savings. And then what happens if a hurricane hits, which is going to cost us, you know, anywhere from $40 to $100 million. If one hits and we're going to need that money, you know, like look at what happened to Bay County with Michael. Look at what happened when, you know, Ivan hit. Look what happened when Sally hit. Well, you don't want to have zero. You don't want to have just 10. You want to have enough to handle it.
Obviously, that is not the most prudent thing to do because we're one disaster away from being bankrupt. Debris will be our biggest expense. I believe we were at $42 million in Ivan. If Ivan were to occur today, that would probably be a $80 million price tag.
That's a major hurricane.
When Bay County took Michael, they depleted their $55 million and had to go out. They've done some, for a loan, they've expedited some payments since then and things like that, but I mean, we're going to have to pay our contractors to get us back into a state where we can open government services. So that is a key.
So Santa Rosa's, you know, got 20, is saying it ought to be 25. They're short four, trying to figure out where to get it from. And one option is to take out a savings again. But, you know, having your rainy day fund or your savings account be at 16 when a single storm hits and it's going to put you $40, $60, $80 million in the hole – that's not a great plan. Or you could raise millage.
You can see the two examples there, the BOCC millage. you would take it up 0.165 mils and generate 3.3 million. The MSTU for law enforcement, you could increase it by 0.18 to get the 3.277.
And I know it's a lot of numbers and math on the radio is not good, but you could take it from 3.9 up to, you know, just over 4.1. You could take the sheriff from 2 to, you know, 2.2, I think was roughly the number he was talking about, and that would raise the gap. And so they had a conversation about what to do. We'll talk about it a little bit more, out of time for the moment, but 526 here on News Radio 92.3, how are they going to cover this $4 million gap? What I thought was the most fascinating was how several of the county commissioners reacted to the information that was not really brand new to them, but that, you know, you either raise taxes or you cut spending or you dip into savings. I mean, those are the alternatives, and what you going to do? Well, like I said, their reaction was kind of interesting. 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you need any kind of video footage done, whether it's on the ground or in the air or of a meeting or of a home so that you can have in case a storm hits, or if you want to do a training video or meet our employees or a fly-through of a subdivision or of a boat that you're trying to sell, Pelican Drones, they do all of this. Now, I know in their name it's drones. You think everything they do is drones. No, they do video footage on the ground, in the air, any of that, and then they edit it for you. So you can have like your, you know, 15-second ad on TikTok, your 30-second ad on, you know, Instagram, your 60-second ad on Facebook, or any other format, whether it's TV or anything else. You own it when they're done. And big or small clients, like they work with FDOT and FPL and Visit Alabama and Portofino and, you know, your neighbor Bob next door. I mean, whoever. You can buy their services by the hour, by the half day, by the day. Very reasonable, locally owned and operated, and they are just fantastic. Plus, you own it all when they're done. PelicanDrones.com. Find out more. PelicanDrones.com.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy, it took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid. Installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages. Keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
This is the story of the one. The one who keeps multiple buildings running smoothly day after day. Plumbing that flows, HVAC that hums, cleaning supplies that keep surfaces sparkling. That's why she counts on Grainger. With easy reordering online and 24/7 support, Grainger helps her keep the products she needs on hand. So shelves stay stocked and buildings stay ready. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Say something you shouldn't say on the radio? Could be.
Good thing we don't have a video in here. My face was like, like the end of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, my goodness. I know I didn't give you an update on the shooting that Pensacola police did yesterday. I just always feel like I don't want to give you too much of the same thing over and over day after day. But the short version is pretty much what I was saying yesterday turned out to be correct, that it was largely gang-related. They all kind of knew each other except for one person. And this was a long-standing simmering argument that bubbled over on the 5th of July in the morning.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Stars and Stripes out at the World Cup, losing their round of 16 game against Belgium and Seattle. One of the few bright spots coming in the first half.
Tillman over there!
The game on Fox, too many mistakes, allows Belgium to win 4-1. President Trump travels to the NATO summit in Turkey.
Security is the watchword of this NATO summit. NATO allies are promising to take on more of the burden of defending Europe. Secretary General Mark Rutte promises that is happening.
Fox's Jonathan Savage reporting from Turkey. The British military says a tanker traveling near the coast of Oman in the Strait of Hormuz is struck by a projectile and caught fire. This attack taking place during the extended funeral for the former supreme leader in Tehran, killed at the start of the U.S.-Israel assault on Iran. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 78 degrees with partly cloudy skies, and we'll get a look at our forecast. That's up here in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola police are urging those connected to Sunday's downtown shooting to let police handle the investigation and not to seek revenge. Chief Eric Winstrom tells Channel 3 that officers are working to prevent retaliatory violence in the days ahead, warning anybody who takes street justice into their own hands will be held accountable. The chief says more than 70 officers were downtown on Sunday morning and described alarming signs. 19-year-old Philip Shepard Jr. was killed. Six others were wounded. No arrests have been made for the shooting. Anybody with information is asked to contact the Pensacola Police Department. A 53-year-old Alabama man is facing attempted murder charges after a welfare check at a hotel in Atmore led officers to an unconscious woman with severe traumatic injuries. Atmore police say they responded to the Hampton Inn near I-65 on Thursday at a family member's request and forced entry into a hotel room where they found the woman. Robert Heath Walker of Leroy was arrested on Friday with help from the U.S. Marshals, Gulf Coast Regional Fugitive Task Force, and the victim remains at a hospital. No other details on that incident have been released. Well, getting to the Pensacola Beach Air Show might be a little bit easier this year. The Santa Rosa Island Authority adding extra buses and extending trolley hours to the Blue Angels 80th Anniversary Air Show, July 17th and 18th. On Friday, trolleys will start at 7:30 in the morning, run to Park East until 6 p.m. On Saturday, four additional buses will join the three open-air trolleys starting at 6:30 a.m. Buses and trolleys run between Park East, Park West, and Casino Beach, the air show center. Note that the Quiet Water service to Quiet Water Beach, the boardwalk, and several other stops is suspended until 6 p.m. both days due to traffic. The air show begins at 10:45 a.m. on Saturday. Well, Alabama's leading a 13-state effort supporting new U.S. Postal Service rules aimed at securing mail-in ballots for federal elections. The proposed rule would standardize the ballot envelope designs, add unique barcodes for tracking, and create a nationwide auditing system for mail-in voting. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall says once ballots leave state control and enter the postal system, the chain of custody becomes vulnerable to fraud, pointing to documented absentee ballot fraud cases in Alabama in the past year. Florida is not among the 13 states that are signing that letter. Well, a man was hurt after apparently being struck by lightning yesterday in Pasco County. Pasco Fire Rescue says that man was taken to a hospital with critical injuries. Another man was also taken to the hospital after an indirect strike about half an hour later at another location. Rescuers say he was conscious and alert and transported out of an abundance of caution. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's check our forecast from Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
We are going to be seeing mostly sunny skies today with a 30% chance of those pop-up showers and thunderstorms. High near 91 degrees, feeling like the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. Similar forecast for your Wednesday, mostly sunny with a 30% chance of rain. Temperatures near 91 degrees for your high. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Keeping your mostly sunny skies around on Thursday with a 20% chance of rain. High near 91. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Partly cloudy and 78 degrees right now. Our next news at 6. We've got breaking news. Anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Google said it has backed Germany-based Proxima Fusion, which is looking to build Europe's first commercial fusion power plant in a $468 million funding round. Company aims to have a fusion demonstrator running in the early 2030s. Microsoft said it is laying off 4,800 employees immediately after carrying out a voluntary retirement program. The company's Xbox video game unit is cutting one-fifth of its staff, and four studios will go independent. Microsoft stock is down 19% this year, trailing its mega-cap peers. Alibaba said it will ban employees from using Anthropic's artificial intelligence tools starting on Friday. The Chinese company put Anthropic's Claude code on a high-risk software list. Anthropic's terms of service do not allow Chinese companies and other adversarial nations to use its models. Futures are mixed as global chip stocks sell off. Dow futures up by more than 100 points. NASDAQ futures down by more than 200 points. That's Your Money Now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Taking a quick look at the radar, we've got some odd little pop-up showers kind of sporadically all over the air, I can say this because I have teenage boys, but it kind of looks like a high school kid's acne. No, I mean, it just, it's not a moral thing. It's not their fault. You know, you do, but it just kind of looks like there's like a dot over Louisiana here, over Grand Lake. There's a dot over out of Okaloosa County. There's just, Candy, I don't know if you can see the screen from over there, but tell me I'm wrong in my description. Can you come over here and look at that? Wow. Okay. Just,
seventh grade.
I don't know why. I'm just, you know, I'm a horrible person. Anyway, yesterday.
Yes.
You don't have to say anything, Candy. Yesterday, I had a good chance to talk with our friend, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Happy 250th birthday of our favorite country.
America.
How did the 4th go for law enforcement in Santa Rosa County?
It was quiet. We had some incidents on the beach, but nothing major. Just, you know, the regular kind of thing. People drinking too much and doing stupid things, but nothing major. So it was a good weekend for us.
Let me quote one of my favorite people. America!
Yeah, but you don't put an A at the front. It's just America.
I know. I'm still overcoming my affection for grammar. But no, you're exactly right about that. We had a child neglect story out of Navarre. A 28-year-old arrested for child neglect after her son was found walking down the road with no shoes. But you and I were just talking briefly off the air, and this was not quite as much a story as the headlines made it sound like.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, any child abuse is bad, and not watching your child, especially, and that's why we did affect the arrest. But yeah, it wasn't like you know, we've seen a lot worse in Santa Rosa County when it comes to child abuse. So, but yeah, she still got arrested. You got to pay attention to your children. That's for sure.
And this was her second arrest, apparently. And, you know, I guess she smelled like alcohol, which, I mean, you know, a lot of the things that go along with all of this. Blackwater Heritage State Trail near Milton.
Yeah.
A guy says he and his nephew were out, and they say they saw a Florida panther.
Yep. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, no, we don't have panthers up here. But I've seen a panther, so I know they're up here. And it's kind of scary, you know, because everybody talks about, you know, we don't have panthers up here. And so they go down these trails and they don't think, you know, there's creatures out there that can really do them harm. And, we do have panthers in the area.
And the recommendation, if you ever come across one, is?
Steer clear of it. And hopefully it's more afraid of you than you are.
I'll always hope for that.
Yes.
Definitely always hope for that.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, we had a, you know, obviously an incident in Pensacola. I know you're familiar that, you know, it's early morning Sunday. And I think a lot of people are kind of, I think it's easy to misinterpret what happened. They are interpreting as being connected to the 4th of July or as being with the teenagers or as being a flash mob. And it doesn't seem to have been any of those. What it seems to be is, you know, somebody who had probably pre-existing beef with somebody else or a reason to attack them either found out or stumbled upon them in the midst of a crowd and decided that it didn't matter whether there was a crowd, they were going to start shooting they and their friends. And six people wound up getting wounded and one person wound up getting killed. But, you know, even with 50 extra cops, there's no number of police you can put when there's a big crowd and there's somebody who's willing to do evil to even stop that in advance. It's just, you know, crowds are crowds, right?
Yeah, and how do you know what person in that crowd is armed?
Right.
You know, that's another problem. So they have to act first for us to react to it. And unfortunately, with handguns or rifles or whatever, you can do a lot of damage before we can get to you and put you down. So, I feel for the Pensacola Police Department. It was a rough thing they had to do, but, you know, it is what it is. And unfortunately, it happens a lot around the country.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that, you know, typically the way, especially national media, when they get a hold of a story, they're going to misunderstand it or fit it into a box that it doesn't really fit into. And the way I've kind of been saying it is, this could have been on July 6th. This could have been on a gallery night, some other night. This could have been any other, or it could have been at some, you know, home or some club where these people saw each other. It just happened to be after a fireworks show in downtown Pensacola on the 250th anniversary is how I've been thinking about it.
There's mass shooting, and, you know, we need to take guns from law-abiding people, and that'll keep criminals from doing this. It's like, you know, they have their narrative.
Right, and you know, and I know I can't really control how the media is going to, you know, misinterpret or misrepresent something, and they're rarely going to stick around long enough to follow up with the details.
Oh, yeah.
As, I think I still, to this day, I remember the NAS Pensacola shooting, and you saying I'm laughing about that. I'm not laughing about that. I'm laughing about the week following that, when we had our press conference, and I'm there with Grover and all of the locals who are from PNJ and WAR and Rick Outson, and we're all there. And there's this Yahoo from New York, from CNN, who thinks he's the biggest guy in the room and asks all these abrasive, abrupt, stupid, obnoxious questions.
Yeah.
We're all just looking at him like, would you please quit so we can get back to the business of actually dealing with a community that, you know, like, it's anyway. And, you know, that's all this is for those people.
Yeah, that's CNN for you, the Common News Network.
Often. Often it is. Sheriff, I don't know how familiar you are with this ruling. It just came out, I think, on Friday. The Florida State Supreme Court issued a ruling related to the knock and announce procedures for when you serve a warrant. And the short, short version of this is that the statute specifically says that if a officer of the law violates the knock and announce requirements before entering a home, even with a warrant, that officer can be charged with a crime. The law does not specifically provide for exclusion of any evidence secured after the failure to follow the knock and announce law being excluded from the trial. But that's historically been the remedy, is the courts have figured that we can stop this bad behavior by excluding the evidence at trial. And the Florida State Supreme Court said two things. They said, number one, that does not exclude the evidence because it's a legitimate warrant, even if it's not served in the proper way. But number two, they are recommending that, and that's not working to discourage bad behavior. They're saying, no, police officers are going to be held accountable. They've never been charged under this law, but they recommend charging officers who don't follow this. I think it's a huge ruling. I think it's a very interesting one, but I'm curious what your reaction is and what your agency might do as a result of this ruling, if anything, differently.
Yeah, we're not going to do anything differently. And, you know, it's incumbent upon the deputy or police officer serving the warrant to adhere to the law. I mean, that's what we're here for. You have some agencies, especially, you know, the bigger ones, New York City and all that, that have bad apples because they have 45 officers.
Yeah, anybody that's got we're cell phone signals kind of breaking up on us. For anybody who's got 45,000 officers, you're going to have some bad ones too, right?
Our guys adhere to the law. They always will. And if they don't, they pay a consequence for it. I understand that. We weed out that.
Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, if you can still hear me, thank you so much for joining us on the 6th of July. Thank you for your service to this country, both as sheriff and in the Air Force. I appreciate it, sir. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Take care, Andrew.
Absolutely. 547 on News Radio 92.3. It was kind of funny. I was texting with somebody yesterday that was about the whole thing about having like CNN come in and these out-of-town reporters, and she was telling me, out-of-town reporters are the worst. And my response was, no kidding. They always ask the wrong questions. They don't care about us, the community, and they think they matter more than the locals, and then they leave before it's over and don't stick around to actually deal with the problems. They are the...
Yeah, like, I know. It's like they do hurricane coverage, and it's like a...
Yeah.
Bye. We're dying over here, but that's fine.
It's the weirdest
in it.
It's the weirdest thing ever when you have a national news story happen locally, and then like you go to the mayor's press conference, or you go to a press conference with the sheriff or the county or whatever, and you know there's somebody there who's from ABC or from CNN or whatever, and it's just funny. They think they're so important, and they're all the words I would use I can't really say on the air. That they're just not good people most of the time. I don't want to speak for everybody, but in my experience, I will say that I have no respect for the national news people who show up on the scene to cover things when Pensacola becomes a national news story. We'd be better off without them. In fact, and by the way, all of our local, you know, like the public information officers, you know, they all know this, and they are all very clear that, like, the locals, PNJ and me and WAR, will always get first attention, too, because they know those people are – they're purely serving themselves. They're not serving the community. They're not helpful. And they're arrogant bleeps is what they are. So it's actually kind of a cool thing that we have a bunch of local communications folks who understand this and, you know, prioritize getting
we're
you –
blessed with good reporters.
Yeah,
and news
exactly.
Gatherers,
and prioritize getting you the right information by talking to the people who, you know, are going to be here in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month or a year, whatever. 437-1620, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty do a phenomenal job of that. In the heat of the market, you know, when everybody was selling homes super easy, I mean, basically you could put out a for sale sign and by the time you got the third hit of hitting the post in, somebody was making you an offer, they were selling over 200 homes a year, which is great. I mean, you know, that's a lot. Then when the kind of the market changed and, you know, prices went way up and the interest rates also went up and people got nervous about the economy a couple of years ago, that dipped to under 200 to 175, which is still amazing if you think about it. And then 165 the following year. And then last year it was back up. over 200 homes sold last year. 206, I think, was the number. And, you know, if you do the math on that, that's 4 a week. So they're selling, I mean, crazy. Every other day they're basically selling a home, which is a lot of experience, which you think, well, gosh, if I'm their client, they're not going to have any time for me. No, it's the other way around. The reason they sell so many is because they're so efficient, but they treat you like you're the only person they've got as a client. And one of the advantages, you know, and Christina always explains this when she's on Pep Talk, is, you know, you may not get the person who's your realtor on a given day. Like if there's some emergency, somebody wants to see your home and it's, you know, like 7 o'clock on a Wednesday, which, you know, they'll always try to give you time in advance. But, you know, things come up or whatever. And, you know, this person might have a family engagement. That's your person. Well, there's a team. So there's somebody there to help all the time. So it's an advantage to have a team working with you instead of just a single person. But, you know, she can explain all this to you. Just talk to her and say, you know, hey, what makes you different? Why should I use you instead of my friend at church or my friend at work or my friend at, you know, who's part-time, learn how to do real estate? You know, whatever. Ask her. She'll tell you. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite band. This week, it's Al Jolson, the world-class Elvis tribute artist who has been performing across the United States and overseas for the past 20 years. Consistently ranked one of the top Elvis performers in the world, according to Elvis Presley Enterprises, and you'll see him this week at Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Praritz.
Digital marketing can be confusing, and with the security concerns and the internet, it might even be a little bit scary. But at ADX Digital, we use Double Verify. This means we only deliver ads to real people through trusted partners on secure websites and apps. No bots, no scams, no funny business. Actual people inside your target geography moved to action through effective planning and professional execution. That's ADX Digital.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
In the whatever happened to them since category, the Soup Dragons are nobody knows what's going on with them these days. They made two albums and then, you know, I don't know, maybe since they've done something, but I don't know anything about it. Five, do you know Candy?
I don't. I hadn't really thought about the Soup Dragons till just now, but I sure did like them.
Yeah, they were fun.
That brings back a slice of life.
Love God, the little tie-dye kind of cover on that album for, anyway, too much. 437-1620, 437-1620. Did you watch? I know, Candy, you're not a big sports person.
My husband isn't, okay. Which makes me, yeah.
Did you guys like watch any of the World Cup game yesterday?
No, but I watched the highlights, and I hate that we lost to Belgium, 4-1, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked a little bit about soccer. Oh, and it's funny, too. Our boss, Kevin King, he loves soccer, and he's always trying to convince everybody else that they should.
And it is.
And,
it's,
you know, it's cute and it's
soccer.
Adorable, and it hurts his feelings a little bit that, you know, we don't love it. I said, okay, I'm going to watch the game. Not live. I mean, I'm not that crazy. But, I was recording. I was doing show prep last night. So I sat down to watch the game at about 9:30 after it's not quite over. And, you know, in real time, like, I was going to really watch it. You know, I was going to have a beer and everything. Like, I was going to do the whole, like, yeah. And also because I suspected.
Paint Danny's face? USA! USA! That's his wife, Danny.
That would have been great. No, that did not happen.
Get all the makeup off me, Andrew.
And there was, I knew in my heart that Belgium was a better team than we are, but you never know on any given day. I mean, look at Cape Verde, right? Anybody can do well on any given day. That's why soccer, to some degree, is interesting because, you know, even powerhouses can lose, you know, not necessarily by a lot, but they can lose. But I figured, like, if I'm going to watch any game this year in the World Cup. It'd be yesterday's game because it might be the last game America gets because chances are they're going to lose. And, you know, I don't want to go into it thinking that, but even as an American fan, of course. And when 45 seconds in and they almost scored an unbelievable goal, that we our goal, an unbelievable save, I was like, oh, boy. And it was the ball was entirely in our half of the field. I mean, it was terrible. Like, we were not competitive against this team. And, yes, they scored, and then we got an equalizer off of a set piece, off of because we they had called a foul, basically, and it was crazy. That game, it was 4-1. It was a humiliating loss. It could have been 5 or 6-0 just as easily. I mean, we got our one score off of a penalty just – not a penalty, but, you know, off a foul just outside of the box where, you know, Malik Tillman made a great shot. I mean, it was a great shot. But if he hadn't have gotten that call – we wouldn't have had any score, and they could have just as easily scored another or two. And if you look at the number of shots on goal, so we were completely outmatched in this game. It was never close. I watched about the first 30 minutes, then I started fast-forwarding because it was obvious what was going to happen, and, you know, nothing surprising came. But, yeah, you know, hey, we're in the round of 16.
Do we get to play again?
But no, that's it. We're done.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah. Now we watch the regular teams play. I didn't say real teams, but, you know.
From the sweaty countries. All right.
Yeah. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is just kind of an interesting thing that I had not expected to see yesterday, that there's going to be a hybrid public meeting with the Department of Transportation on July 28th. So that's, 3 weeks away, but here you go. For the Beulah Interchange. Remember that project that's going to create a new connection where Beulah Road is right now? And, you know, we gave up that road and acquired Purdue Key Road a couple of years ago. That's a big multi-million dollar, many, many years project. Like, it's going to be done in, I don't know, the 23rd century. But
with the steakhouses?
What's that? With the steakhouses.
Oh,
that's OLF-8. That's a different. Yeah. That's different.
We're going to make steakhouses.
But part of that, all of the expansion is the need to connect to the interstate. And right. So that's going to happen. Right. This takes a long time to happen. Well, there's going to be this public meeting, so you can go and get it. It won't really be a briefing and a Q&A. They call it a hybrid meeting, which means they're probably going to show a video, and then you can make comments and write them down and see kind of what the plan is. And if you live in that area, you're going to care. The only
it's like
reason
a Dave Ramsey meeting.
Yeah, sort of. The only reason that I wanted to mention this to you is I thought it was so weird. Here's the actual, how the press release came from FDOT yesterday. Interstate 10, in parentheses I-10, in case you didn't know that Interstate 10 was I-10. Interstate 10, I-10, that road. But here's where it gets funny. At State Road, SR-99, interchange project. Well, I got that and I thought, what? Is State Road 99. The Florida Department of Transportation will hold a hybrid public meeting concerning the I-10 at SR-99 interchange project in Escambia County. Well, I know the only interchange project going on in our two-county area is Beulah Road. But FDOT does not speak the language of us. They do not speak the local. So they always refer to these roads based on the state road number, which nobody knows. Like, what's the state road number for Pine Forest? I mean, you might know. But, you know...
Absolutely.
There are some roads, Highway 98, Highway 90, that we refer to as their number, or 87, but an awful lot of these roads have road names, and it's just one of these barriers to FDOT communicating effectively that they don't condescend enough to speak the language of ordinary people and just say, the Beulah Road Interchange Project, which is how everybody locally talks about it. Anyway, it's a small thing. I suppose it's a criticism of communications. But anyway, so if you care about that, it's 3 weeks from now, and you'll forget between now and then. Oh, did you hear the advice? Oh, you know who officiated the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce wedding?
Yes, Adam Sandler.
I think that's so cool.
A national treasure.
Yeah, right?
I love him. Yeah. Travis Kelce was in Happy Gilmore, too.
That's right. So. And they're friends, I guess, and he knows Taylor a lot or whatever and loves her and thinks she's fantastic.
Yes.
Anyway, the advice that he gave them was really good marriage advice. Now, I think Adam Sandler's been married for 23 years, so he's doing okay. You know, in the Hollywood scheme, that's three millennium. He just said, keep kissing. Kiss as much as you possibly can. That's good advice. It is really, really hard to be fighting with somebody when you're kissing them. Keep kissing.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.